Part 2. As her father headed into the night, Snormy hung her head.
There's nothing I could say that would change his mind, she told herself.
Having witnessed the intense father-daughter dispute, Nug reappeared, unsure how to be helpful.
I thought you bravely made good sense, he told Snormy.
Though Snormy and Nug were fearful of being separated from their parents, they didn't see how they'd ever be what their parents and communities wanted them to be. So they made a choice no Plune or Maw had ever made. They decided to set out on their own.
We'll fill our own food baskets, then tote them to the storage places only we know about, planned Nug
as they hiked through the night to a wooded area behind a distant plateau, a location far from the Maw's colony and the Plune's flock. Snormy had something important to say.
A Plune able to make a meal of you would be seen as a hero by other Plunes. So, don't stray far from the ledge crevices that extend along the bottom of the plateau we've chosen, she stressed.
Nug looked upward.
Along with finding a spot with a lot of porous ledge, we've got a terrific view of High Plateau and Sky Eye, he pointed out.
The winter months went well for Snormy and Nug. Thanks to Nug's food storage know-how and Snormy's willingness to learn, they were able to keep their bellies full. Better still, the long chats they enjoyed kept them from feeling bored or lonely. They did, though, sometimes miss their parents.
The adults were glad to get rid of us, decided Nug as they scanned the glittering night sky. They're probably pretending we no longer exist,
sadly said Snormy.
I've been thinking more and more that there must be a way to convince Maws and Plunes to at least ponder the possibility of getting along, shared Nug. It sounds like you've been working on a scheme,
guessed Snormy. Nug had, in fact, been mulling a plan.
I'm sure our new healthy diets has been strengthening your wings. I bet you're strong enough to carry me in a well-built basket fastened to your legs.
Snormy caught on.
You want us to fly over the Maw's colony and the Plune's flock. What if a hungry or ornery Plune rips you from the basket?
She asked. A grinning Nug had an answer.
Because I'll be underneath you, I doubt they'll get close to me. But if they do, I'll beak bop them with a branch. We both want to show Maws and Plunes there's a better way to live, right? He noted. The thought of you falling out of such a contraption sends a chill through me. Why aren't you scaring yourself?
Questioned Snormy.
I trust us to make the basket extra secure. There's something else I've been wanting to tell you, informed Nug
as he stood and faced Snormy.
What's that?
Asked Snormy. Nug's eyes widened.
Watching you gracefully glide from place to place makes me want to do the same, even if only as a passenger. You'd be letting me know what no more has known, the splendor of flight, he revealed while lifting front paws. I don't want to let you down, said Snormy before coming up with a compromise. If we make a sturdy basket with a strong waist strap, I'll take you for flights in the sky directly above us. I'll also consider carrying an empty basket during a solo flight over the Plumes Plateau. But my beak bopping could come in handy, pleaded Nug. Hightailing it on my own will be hard enough, declared Snormy. By noon the next day, Snormy and Nug had an extra rugged basket built. Satisfied the basket was flight-worthy, Snormy let Nug strap it to her upper legs. We're ready. Can I hop aboard? Asked Nug. After flexing legs, Snormy nodded okay. Once crouching in the basket, Nug tightened a strap around his waist, then gripped the edge of the basket. Suddenly feeling skittish, he tried to request a delay. Maybe this wasn't such a... he began.
Here we go,
interrupted Snormy as she aimed head forward, spread wings outward, and began smooth, steady strokes. Soon dazzled by how quickly and easily they rose, Nug's anxiety was overtaken by his amazement. Wow! It's what I hoped it would be, he exclaimed as they continued upward.
Ready for some fun?
Asked Snormy while leveling off 200 feet above the ground.
Sure,
quickly answered Nug. Snormy shortened her wingspan in order to swerve into a dive that sent them whizzing between treetops.
Hold on, we're going to skim the lake,
she announced, while heading for the shimmering blue water ahead of them. Soon gliding only inches above the ripples, she dipped paws downward, just enough to spray water onto Nug. Realizing the surprise shower was a fun-loving stunt, Nug leaned over the basket and dunked a paw deep enough to splash Snormy. Snormy chuckled.
Okay, you got even. Would you like to stand atop the plateau behind our camp?
She asked. Nug was gung-ho.
That would be great, he answered.
Flapping hard to gain altitude, Snormy found she had to circle a bit to overcome the steepness.
This plateau is a little higher than the one the Plumes live on, but it's doable,
she assured Nug. After they safely landed, Nug was surprised by the lack of a view.
I thought we'd see more, not less, from up here,
he noted.
Only sky, clouds, and high plateau can be seen without getting close to the edge,
pointed out Snormy.
Even from up here, high plateau looks super high. That's because it is super high,
assured Snormy. Keeping her word, Snormy set out for the Plumes Plateau the following morning with the empty basket attached to her. To pace herself and stay calm, she maintained slow, sweeping strokes
while taking full, relaxing breaths. Nevertheless, the closer she got to her old home, the more anxious she felt. Once over the plateau, Snormy decided it was best to continue to poke along.
"Save your energy,"
she told herself as she glanced down long enough to see members of her former flock. When Snormy reached the midpoint of the mesa, she was pleased with how things were going. Though she saw Plune glaring upward and squawking loudly, she didn't see anyone take flight.
"So far, so good,"
she thought, unaware of the five fierce plumes rapidly gaining on her. Eventually glancing back, Snormy saw the head-lurching plumes closing in on her. Though panic-stricken at first, she soon gathered the will and the ability to flap much faster. Her sudden speed dumbfounded those following. Within seconds, she streaked so far ahead of her pursuers that they sheepishly gave up in unison. Eager to share her triumph with Nug, she flew out of sight, then headed home. Finding Nug pacing when she returned, Snormy quickly put him at ease.
"You were right. Our diet has made me not only healthier, but also stronger. While being chased by some pesky plumes, I easily escaped," she happily shared.
"You've shown them what's possible," cheerfully praised Nug. "If the flock and colony saw us together, they'd also see the friendship and adventure that's possible," he excitedly noted.
"Okay, tomorrow we'll cruise over the colony,"
promised Snormy, still not ready to commit to taking Nug over the Plumes Plateau.
"Let's celebrate today's triumph with a feast,"
suggested Nug as he jumped high enough to manage a triple twirl before spreading limbs in order to cartwheel his way to their food bins.
"Yes, let's rejoice,"
agreed Snormy, before fluttering feathers with a body vibrating jiggle usual for cheerful Plune. With Snormy's success spurring them, the pair were airborne early the next day.
"We're almost over the colony,"
informed Snormy as she stopped flapping, then glided close enough for those with heads poking out of burrows to see something they'd never seen. A Plune and a Maw out for a pleasant midday aerial cruise. While waving at the Maws he saw below, Nug merrily shouted,
"You could be me! We're likely being seen as a scary spectacle,"
said a grinning Snormy.
"Let's give the Plumes a chance to wave back," encouraged Nug.
"Okay,"
agreed Snormy.
"I hope they don't see our flaunting as taunting," she added.
"Thanks to what happened yesterday, they should be ready for another dose of inspiration," hoped Nug.
Soon spotting Snormy and Nug cruising overhead, the Plumes stood stunned. Though Snormy's appearance had surprised them a day earlier, the flock never expected she'd return carrying a waving maw. A few impressed youngsters, who were huddled far from the adults, looked up with beaks hung wide open.
It's as if we're all staring at an amazing dream,
called out one.
They aren't just getting along, they're also having fun,
added another.
Snormy hasn't only shown us she's the fastest plone, she's also shown us she can stay friends with a maw,
said a third member of the group. Snormy and Nug began making daily flights over the maw's colony and the plone's flock. To their dismay, the leaders in both communities kept telling all not to look up when the pair passed overhead. If ignored, the troublemakers will eventually give up, kept repeating the maw big shots. Their flybys are shameful. Those two must be shunned, over and over, declared a group of plone elders. Though not one maw waved a paw or one plone flapped a wing to signal friendliness, Snormy and Nug didn't give up. In the months that followed, even on bad weather days, they flew over both communities to again and again let it be known that there was another way to live. Then, on a dreary day, during what had been another humdrum flight, Snormy and Nug had their persistence pay off. While passing over a lake, as they traveled from the colony to the flock, a vision jolted them from their doldrums. So surprised by what was headed toward them, Snormy looked down at Nug to see if he too saw what she saw. "It's finally happened!" cried out an astonished Nug, as a maw riding in a basket tied to a plone's legs approached. After leading the way to a landing spot, Snormy was first to speak to the unexpected duo. "Hello," she gleefully greeted.
"We're hoping you'll allow us to join your community," said the other plone.
"Follow us. We'll take you to your new home," sprightly invited Nug as he leaped to the other maw with open arms, prompting Snormy to pat the other plone with a wing. In the years that followed, slowly but surely, nearly all the plones and maws became members of the community started by Snormy and Nug. While most newcomers came on their own, a few arrived with a maw riding in a basket carried by a plone. The maws who came gave up the role of hunted, and the plones who came gave up the role of hunter. All who arrived sought greater safety, health, and self-respect. The thriving community was a place of harmony and joy. Maws and plones shared meals, fun-loving basket rides, and chatty stargazing. The small group of plones who continued to be predators and the tiny number of maws who stayed prey remained in the old communities. For them, the nearby flourishing friendships were something to distrust. Nug, who had been weakened by old age, began finding routine activities, such as climbing into a flight basket, difficult. Not wanting to replace him with another maw partner, Snormy let younger plone maw pairs take the routine trips over the old communities.
I miss our flyovers, Snarmy. We can't give up on the few Maw and Ploon holdouts,
shared Nug as he hobbled next to Snarmy with help from a branch cane.
Don't worry. The youngsters taking our place are spry and reliable,
assured Snarmy.
I still wonder if the travelers left something behind on High Plateau,
he shared, just before an ache in his arms sharpened as he sat. Nug's wince worried Snarmy.
Are you okay?
She asked.
The twinge will pass,
answered Nug, trying to perk up.
I just wish I wasn't always so tired. While my body tells me no one escapes old age, my mind tells me there's time to search High Plateau for something left behind by the travelers. If only it wasn't too steep for hiking and too high for flying. I wish I could stop wanting to take a look around up there,
he bemoaned.
I, too, wish you could let go of that wish,
said Snarmy while shaking her head. Nug had regret.
Actually, what I just said isn't true. I can't stop wishing. I don't want us to be at odds even a little bit,
he told Snarmy as he patted her wing. After a short silence, Snarmy surprised Nug.
If failing won't be a big letdown for you, I'll give High Plateau a try.
Feeling selfish, Nug resisted.
Asking you to try what hasn't been done with a useless passenger, no less, doesn't make sense, he told her.
Having made up her mind, Snarmy closed eyes.
It's time for snoozing, not waffling,
she noted. After their afternoon nap, Snarmy was ready to try to grant Nug his wish.
We're not going to regret not trying, Nug,
she told him while stretching wings.
Are you sure?
Asked Nug.
No, but knowing we can glide to safety if exhaustion sets in has me willing to try,
answered Snarmy. With their flight basket in place, Nug flopped aboard. Soon kneeling, he yanked the safety strap snug.
Ready for liftoff,
he announced.
Then let's see if we can find something left behind by the travelers,
said Snarmy, before spreading wings, extending head, and getting her usual smooth takeoff underway. After completing three-quarters of their journey, Snarmy still felt in control.
So far, I feel able,
she told Nug.
Seconds later, though, a swirling gust of wind flipped Snarmy and Nug upside down. Making matters worse, the gale sent them careening into the side of the plateau, while Nug used what strength he had to brace himself inside the basket. Snarmy mightily pushed away from the hard vertical ledge with spread claws, sending them into a free fall. In a flash, they became a sprawling, plummeting jumble of fur and feathers.
Hold on, shouted Snarmy as she frantically twisted and flailed.
Then,
with wings a blur from her frantic, forceful flapping, Snormy amazingly gained control. 30 feet from disaster, she swerved parallel to the ground, enabling her and Nug to catch their breath and keep their hearts from bursting.
"Are you okay?"
asked Snormy.
"Yes, you saved us,"
said a thankful Nug. Snormy didn't lose heart.
"I'm going to fly along the other side of High Plateau. I believe doing so will lessen the likelihood we'll encounter another upending updraft. Are you up to continuing?"
she checked.
"I'm fine. Are you sure about another try?" asked Nug.
"We're not giving up yet,"
said a determined Snormy. Changing sides made the remainder of their flight bumpy, but hitch-free. Though breathing harder as the air grew thinner, their resolve didn't wane. With the top of High Plateau only a minute or so away, Snormy managed sluggish but steady strokes. Finally able to touch down, they began searching for evidence of the travelers. After thoroughly combing the plateau and not finding any sign of the travelers, Snormy and Nug leaned against a stretch of ledge. Tired, they looked up and saw the Sky Eye Nebula begin to brighten as nightfall quickened.
"I'm thinking about the most wonderful day, Nug,"
warmly said Snormy.
"That was the day we met,"
strained Nug, as a cold breeze left him shivering.
"Yes, I remember it as if it was yesterday,"
sheered Snormy, while spreading a wing to cloak and warm Nug. After Snormy dropped her head next to Nug's, both gazed at the nebula.
"Sky Eye could be a passageway," suggested a wheezing Nug. "I now have a new wish, one that really and truly matters," he made known.
Though Snormy sensed the answer would be upsetting, she forced herself to ask,
"What is your new wish?"
"I wish I didn't have to take my next trip without you. You can be sure that once I get wherever it is I'm going, I'll start making plans for our next adventure,"
assured Nug, again struggling to speak. While tears fell on feathers, Snormy spoke firmly.
"You're not going anywhere without me,"
she told Nug, refusing to accept what was happening. Soon after Nug's eyelids shut, he visualized snippets of the precious times they'd shared. Beginning with their wondrous first encounter, he made his way to the mournful moment at hand. Snormy, meanwhile, continued to look up at Sky Eye. Then, when the nebula's pupil-like center briefly blinked from pink to blue, she chose to believe the change of color meant the acceptance of a new arrival. The End.